revolutionary time.
Ready to fight, revolutionary time.
Seize the day, seize the hour.
All right, this is the Michael Slate Show, and I'm Michael Slate. That's right, you aren't. I am, okay? Those were some of the sounds from a march on June 12th called by the RevComs to show the world that we are getting organized now for revolution, nothing less, all right? Never forget that. Never let that drop from your eye. Basically how you're thinking, all right? That's going to be the theme of today's show. A little later, we'll be talking with Michelle Chai from the LA Revolution Club. But right now, we're going to hear a speech from June 12th by Noche Diaz, spokesperson for the Revolution Club. And speaking, he was speaking in front of the LA Sheriff Station in South Central. Now, Noche is well known on this station, on this show. And as usual, he really kicks some butt in this. All right, so check this out, and we'll be right back after that.
I said, I don't know if you can see yourself, but I can see you, and you look pretty good. I want you to look over there. Look at these sorry ass, ugly ass mother. Cowering behind their shield. Cowering behind those fences. Cowering behind their helmets, their guns, and most importantly, behind that badge. We are not just here because of how ugly these particular sheriffs are, although that would be reason enough. They are a perfect representative of America. Infested with white supremacist gangs who hunt and murder black and brown people, just like America has been since day one. They oversee dungeons in this city, the LA County prisons, where they torture, beat, murder black and brown people, mentally ill people, where they oversee these torture chambers and dungeons, just like America does, number one in the world at mass incarceration, number one at prisons and jails. These sheriffs, just like America has since day one, has always used violence, murder, and terror to put down and silence all the voices who have called for an end to the oppression and the white supremacy at the heart of America, just like these sheriffs have been doing for the last 50 plus years. But when I said that badge, it's something that is the ugliest thing about them. Why do I say that? Because it represents the fact that they are not just some Wild West lone gunmen who are carrying out this terror and brutality. They are backed up and given this authority to carry out this violence by this whole damn system. Bottom to top, every court in the land has to bless the authority that is in the hands of the enforcers of the so-called laws of this land. And it's becoming a little bit popular today to point out that the police and the sheriffs came from slave patrols. And that's true. And it's good people are starting to talk about that. But I got to say, if you follow the logic, it seems kind of silly that you would talk about defunding and abolishing slave patrols without talking about how you're gonna abolish slavery. It seemed kind of silly to talk about dismantling one part of this system without talking about getting rid of the whole system. The old form of chattel slavery in this country didn't end because the slave patrols couldn't get funding anymore. It took a civil war, an all-out fight. It was bloody. It happens to be the only war this country is ashamed of having fought. because it ended slavery. The point is, sisters and brothers, it's not enough to let people point out partial truths. We have to follow the truth wherever it takes us. That's what Bob Avakian does. We follow Bob Avakian. Bob Avakian follows the truth wherever it takes you. Doesn't turn away from it. And when if you say that they have an analog to the slave patrols, then the logical conclusion is that we cannot be playing around with half-stepping reforms while that keep this system in place and going. We have to make a revolution. The REVCOMS issued a declaration and call to get organized now for this revolution, which says again and again and comes back to the basics. We need revolution, a real revolution. We cannot afford to waste these rare times and circumstances that could be ripened into a real chance to make revolution. We cannot afford to squander the rare and precious leadership we have for this revolution. We have to get busy, build the movement for revolution and the organized forces for revolution all over the country, and work together tirelessly for this revolution to actively prepare for the situation where this system can be brought down and something much better brought into being. Now you heard Michelle reading from Basics, where Bob Avakian talks about how all this serve and protect bullshit is really just about serving and protecting this system. And about how when we have power, we would just as soon as have our people's police take a bullet and die themselves than to carry out this kind of murder and terror against the masses of people. And I had thought about reading from the Constitution for the New Socialist Republic to elaborate on this. But it has to be said in a certain kind of way. That's the easy part. It's not that hard. It's not that we every day can go out into these streets and stand for the people and serve the people and fight for the people without gunning them down. It's not that hard. What is hard and why this system cannot do it is because they have no future for millions of people. And if they didn't have these sheriffs and these police, they would need to invent them, because they would need to have some kind of violent force to keep people living this way. And when we sweep this system aside and take the resources out of the hands of the capitalists and put the resources of society in the hands of society, we'll have a lot of use for everybody, because we have a world to change. We have an environment to save. We have future generations to look after and care for. But this system cannot usefully profit from exploiting people anymore, so it kills them off, warehouses them in prisons, and then goes around the world finding other desperate people it can use to make their wealth and their power. But this is why a revolution, nothing less, is needed, not only to go up against and defeat them, but establish that new society that can make all of this possible. And this is what we are preparing for. This is why we can go to people and say there is a way. There is a way to a future that is worth living and fighting for now. Revolution, nothing less. This is why we today could go out and show everyone how we are getting organized for this revolution now. This is why when you march through the streets, it is not just to put on a good protest and feel good, but it's to show everyone what it is that we are doing now to prepare to make this revolution. The sisters and brothers, Bob Avakian has pointed out, there are two big weapons that they use to keep people down and keep people oppressed. You might think to yourself, yeah, I get all this tough shit about the sheriff, but why are we marching through the neighborhood where people live? Because this system has two weapons. They have all their violence, their murder, their prisons. But they also have the way they catch people up thinking just like this system. Living and dying for nothing but self, just like a capitalist, except you ain't got no capital. They have people in these streets fighting for markets on different corners, except it's illegal, their markets. and they don't go all around the world using millions of people. They just fight and kill each other on corners, and that suits this system just fine, so long as people are living and dying that way. So if we're gonna make this revolution, we gotta break down both of these weapons of this system's oppression. We're gonna have to break people out of the ways of thinking that keep them going along with all this, keep them from getting into this revolution, keep them thinking there's no hope in going up against this powerful enemy. And then we're gonna have to prepare people, as this declaration talks about, for the time when we can go all out and actually defeat and dismantle this system's institutions of violence. Because anything else will completely fail to deal with the problem. Anything else will just end up saying, yeah, it's wrong when they carry out one or another of their crimes, but they have the right to use violence to enforce this system whenever they want. And all we can do is question and challenge when they get a little out of control. The fact is, tens of millions of people, for a revolution to come about, have to understand these police, sheriffs, and the US military have no right to use any violence whatsoever. They shouldn't even be allowed to direct traffic. They have no right to exist. They have no legitimate reason for being on this earth. And when tens of millions of people understand that, we're gonna have to be organized to be able to do something about their ability to carry it out and defeat their capacity and dismantle their institutions so that we can sweep aside their system. And that is what we are getting ready for. And the times that we live in today are the kinds of times where such a fight can be won. It's not all the time that you get a shot at bringing down a powerful opponent. And when that opening comes along, once in a lifetime, maybe, not only can we do something that really matters, our lives can finally count for the greatest thing. Imagine 100 years from now in the history books, when the children are learning about this old wicked land that was once called America, when people are learning about what sheriffs and police like this did all over this country, and they talk about the people who took history into their hands, rose up after too long of this and said no more and brought that system down. Imagine how much our lives will have meaning for those future generations. This is why we have to continue from here forward. What we did today was beautiful and powerful, and it's a launching pad to go even further. And we're gonna have to keep on struggling with people because, look, I know some people have said, they say to us, well, yeah, I heard you. You've been telling me every day to come out June 12th. You've been telling me every day, will you be there? You've been telling me every day, we got two choices. I get it. But look, people keep telling us every day the same that this system has told them their whole lives. They keep opening their mouth and letting this system talk out of them. We're gonna have to keep on setting them right. Not because we're mad at them, but because we know their potential. This is why Bob Avakian has never stopped struggling with people. He sees their potential, not just to fight, but to be emancipators of humanity. That's why we follow Bob Avakian, and everyone who wants to see an end to all oppression needs to follow Bob Avakian too. Not to get more likes on Facebook or Twitter, not to cultivate our brand, but because we want to get free, and Bob Avakian has developed a way out of this. And if anybody out there tells you, oh yeah, that sounds all nice, but he's an old white man, come on. You're down with getting free, you're down with ending all oppression, but you want to give up just because you ain't got it in you to follow a white man? What are you really about? Again, the problem ain't that Bob Avakian is a white man, the problem is that you are caught up in this way of thinking that has nothing to do with getting free. So if you want to get free, get down with Bob Avakian and get with the revolution and be part of getting organized now for this revolution. And one last thing, to everyone who has joined us along the way, to everyone who has been marching on a hot day, I don't think you understand how important what you have done here today is. Maybe you saw the eyes of the people who joined in with you. But I don't know if you saw in the corners of the windows people peeking outside their blinds, holding out their little cell phones. Because people here are suffocated by the lack of hope, and you brought some of that, a taste of that today. But we don't just want a taste, we want the whole world, not for ourselves, but to get everybody free. Revolution, nothing less. Revolution,
nothing less. All right, welcome back. Revolution. Yep, never forget that, okay? Never let that become something dry and dead in your mind, because it's really necessary. All over the globe, it's really necessary, all right? And it's especially really necessary right where we're sitting, okay? And that was Noche Diaz, spokesperson for the Revolution Club, speaking in front of the L.A. Sheriff Station in South Central on June 12th. Now, you know, there's just a whole lot of things that are changing. The world is changing really rapidly. And the needs of the people are changing really rapidly, not in terms of what they need to eat, what they need to, all that stuff. Yes, that stuff's important. But what we need in terms of breaking out of the hell that we've been forced to live in. And even for those people who don't think they're living in hell, they're living in the deepest hell, because they don't even recognize what's going on. But we need to be actually clear about all this, all right? We need to be very clear about all this. And today's show is going to be kind of dedicated to that. Not kind of, it is going to be dedicated to that, all right? It's going to be dedicated to talking about the situation that we're in today. It's going to be dedicated to talking about how are we going to get out of this? What's it mean for us here? What's it mean for people all over this country? What's it mean for the world? Imagine if this monster didn't have the claws to come out and do what it does to people all over the world. Just imagine the difference it would make. And it's absolutely possible. There's no reason. And the only reason anybody would say it's not possible is because you've been buying the okey-doke. You've just been sitting back and saying, well, they say that. The master says that it can't be any different. But we do know it can be different. And that's a big part of what this show is going to be about today. And I'm going to stop gabbing and yabbering, because there's a person I really want you guys to hear, you folks to hear. Now, it's Michelle Chai. She's been on here, yeah, a number of times she's been on the show. But, you know, she hasn't shown up for a long time. But I'm just teasing you. Okay. Anyway, yes, Michelle Chai is here to talk with us, and she's going to be talking about just about that. And she's also going to be inviting you to speak to the things that she's saying. All right. And so we're going to have we're going to have a rocking situation today. So, Michelle, welcome to the show. It's good to see you. Good to have you back again. All right.
Yeah. Hey,
it's Mike. All yours.
Hi, Michael. It's really good to be back here with you. And yeah, I think, you know, I thought how you introduced it is really right on, you know, like the fact that some of what you just heard was from June 12th, which, you know, the RevComs, we were out in the streets of South Central Los Angeles, you know, manifesting a force that is getting organized now for revolution, nothing less, you know, which is what's actually needed to put an end to all the ways in which the system bring down horror and terror and murder on the people, not just here in this country, but all over the world, right? And for people that have listened to your show, get, you know, hear about, you know, Baba Vakin and hear from Baba Vakin and some of the, you know, of what you play on this show. And that's the voice that people actually need to hear and actually need to understand to get to the root of where this all comes from, you know. Why is it that people are in this situation here and all over the world? And more than that, how do we actually end it, you know? Because there is a lack of hope, you know. And on June 12th, when we marched through this neighborhood in Westmont in South Central Los Angeles, what holds people down and bogs people down is this heavy weight of hopelessness, you know, that this is just the way that things are, that there's nothing that people can do about it, and there's nothing that they themselves see that they can contribute to actually like ending this. And you know, and we brought some of these people together from that neighborhood and from other neighborhoods, different people from different backgrounds and nationalities, marching through that neighborhood to the sheriff's station, which is a very hated symbol of murder and terror and brutality, you know, as we heard Noche speaking about right before this, right? And people know, and, you know, people expressed fear around, you know, marching to the sheriff's station, you know, and even being out there, just speaking for myself, being out there and letting people know about this June 12th march, you know, you just see the sheriffs just going through and, like, you know, harassing people. There was a situation where when we were out there, they, like, grabbed some black youth and, like, threw them on the ground and just, like, brutalized them and then threw them in the back of the cop car. And it was actually really, you know, powerful the way that the neighbors in, around that corner store came out, didn't know this youth, and came out and said, "Let him go. What are you doing? You do this to us all the time." And you heard the anger and, you know, and just the fact that people are so tired of this, are so tired of having to see this happen to their neighbors, to their friends, to people they know, and to themselves, you know. And actually, like, seeing that, hearing that there is actually a way that we can end this, you know, that people don't actually have to live this way, and that people actually don't have to accept living this way, you know. And, you know, and some people actually came out there from that neighborhood and marched together with us on June 12th. And as we were marching through, actually, through the, you know, in those houses, you saw people's heads popping out. You saw, you know, people chanting along with us. You saw, you know, people speaking very, you know, powerfully to, like, you know, saying they felt very proud to know the people up on stage, the people, you know, marching, you know, because they felt that sense of hope, you know, that we're saying that there actually is a way out of this, and that they can and they need to play a role in becoming leaders in this revolution and actually, like, getting rid of this whole system.
So when you're talking about that, what do you tell people about what they're going to do? You know, before we do that, though, you know, it would be important for you to actually speak a little bit more about some of the people that are coming in, but also about the area that that this was all happening in, because this is where actually Dijon Kizzy was murdered, right? And this is where there were weeks of protests that were brutally attacked,
right?
You know, and this and the look, the cops down there, you know, they are born in the wool. They're dyed in the wool Nazis. Yeah. There's no messing around with whether, oh, well, no, some of them are really, you know, they understand us. No, these are Nazis, you know, and it's really, and this is the kind of way things, when you think about the way the society is shaping up and how things are being, you know, pushed around and set up so that you have Nazis out here, you have Nazis over here, you have, you know, whacked out idiots over some other places who are probably just Nazis too. But, you know, this whole thing of, you know, the things that a lot of times people don't see, or they don't understand that they, not only that they could do something, but they don't see that there's a need to actually step up the way that they need to. And I think that's one of the things that really struck me about the times that I was down there before this particular demonstration and the weeks before that. But then, especially after the one that actually happened, it was extraordinarily important that went on, because it actually started to change the way people look at things. Like you said, people come out and are cheering and stuff, right? But there's a lot of stuff that we have to do. And, you know, and as people are saying, you know, that this kind of the, and when you're looking at this, the sheriffs have a long history of white supremacists, mm-hmm. gangs, you know, working with them, mm-hmm. you know, within the sheriff's department, not just working with them, but within the sheriff's department, mm-hmm. you know, that's the kind of stuff that you're going through. And, you know, I remember once, I think I got busted here once, and they were talking about they were going to do this and they were going to do that, and somebody said something about them, and somebody that was being arrested that was in the jail cell with me, they started talking about the Nazis, and this cop came over and he said, "Shut up, you're not supposed to say anything." And then he says, and his friend comes over and says, "Why are you getting so mad?" He says, "Well, he was saying all this bad stuff about the Nazis." You know, pretty much that's what he was saying, yeah. You know. But that's the kind of thing that's lining up. Mm-hmm. And when you look at this, the way things are falling out right now, there's a real need for what you're doing, you know, for more people to do that kind of stuff, people to get united around this kind of thing, and to basically step up. Because if you don't step up, you're going to get stepped on pretty dangerously.
Yeah. No, I think that's really important to even step back and talk about, like, what the neighborhood is, you know, and the fact that a year ago, you know, right after George Floyd was murdered, right, on video, and people actually rose up all over the country and all over the world, right? In this neighborhood, Dejan Kizzy was riding his bike, you know, black man, and he was stopped for riding his bike, and he was chased down, and he was killed, you know, he was murdered. And then they left his body down there where they killed them for hours, you know, to basically send a message to people, you know. And as we've been going through and talking to some people in the neighborhood, they've told us this, you know, they've told us that, you know, they saw the body there just laying there, you know, and just, you know, treated as if, you know, the way that they treat so many black people after they kill them, that like if they're not even human being. And this sent, you know, a chill in, you know, in people, you know. And the fact that these sheriffs are known for, after they murder a family member and their family members like try to rise up, they come and they intimidate people, you know. This has been exposed. They like intimidate people and basically like try to get them to like not rise up and not speak out about their family member that was murdered, right? In this neighborhood, and right around that time, you know, Andres Guardado was also murdered, you know, in Compton by the sheriffs, you know. And same thing, you know, with his hands up and they still shot him dead, you know. And this actually sparked protest in South Central LA and people in that neighborhood, and people actually going out and righteously standing up against this, you know. The protests were attacked every night. You know, I was down there with the Revolution Club and other people, and we were getting shot at with rubber bullets. We were getting arrested. We were getting chased down, you know, blocks. You know, they kept declaring it unlawful assembly just because people were out there protesting, you know. And they basically were saying, you have no right to protest, you know. And they were basically sending a message to, you know, when they were chasing protesters down the street, some of those people in that neighborhood opened up their homes and said, come into our houses, you know, and actually like try to protect people from getting shot at with rubber bullets. The sheriffs went and knocked on people's doors and pulled protesters out, you know. Like, they actually were on a mission to, like, you know, shove this back into a bottle, you know. And there is an important significance of actually, you know, the revolution being out there organizing people and actually like trying to break through on this question of fear, you know, because this is something that, you know, this is a way in which this system, you know, has their hold on people, you know, and has a way in which people can't even begin to, one, lift their sights to, can we actually even speak out about this? But more than that, is it even possible to, you know, do away with all of their system, you know, to sweep away their whole system? And that's where a lot of the lack of hope, you know, comes in, you know. And the fact that we're bringing the leadership of Bob Avakian, people actually engaging with this straight up, watching video clips, hearing, you know, him talking about this, you know, the what if, right? The clip where he says, what if the world doesn't have to be this way? What if, you know, women can walk down the street and look every man in the eye and fear nothing? What if mothers didn't have to bury their children because of thug in a badge like murdered them, you know? And then he talks about how this is actually possible, you know, and it makes a big difference, you know. It actually is, you know, that is working on this, breaking through on this question of fear, you know, the fact that there is a way out of this, and it's through an actual revolution. And it is taking up the leadership of Bob Avakian, because there is nobody else talking about how we can actually do away with this. One, again, where this comes from, how we can do away with it, and what kind of society would replace it. How would we reorganize society in a way where people would no longer have to live this way, you know? And that has everything to do with people actually stepping into this. And so, you know, this is a lot of what's been happening in that neighborhood, you know, revolution. And with this June 12th march, we planted a pole of revolution in that neighborhood, you know, where people are actually, you know, with these two choices, even leading into June 12th, we did a lot of work out there and we were challenging people, you know, with this quote from Bob Avakian, where he actually challenges people straight up. We have two choices. We're either going to live with this and condemn future generations to the same or worse if they have a future at all, or make revolution. And how people, you know, we were challenging people, how people do good on this second choice is by marching on June 12th, you know, with the ref comms. And there was people that said, okay, well, I'm going to I'm going to make that second choice, you know? And we're responding to that through the videos that were up on our social media, responding to saying why they were going to be there, was very clearly responding to those two choices and actually struggling with other people about, you know, the future generations that either are going to have a future or not, and why they were actually going to be marching with us on the 12th. And they did.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick musical break and be right back, so stay tuned. Let me remind listeners that you're tuned into the Michael Slate Show, and we're talking today with Michelle Chai, and we're talking about the the barely whatever, the Nazis, who are the police and everybody that's behind them and everybody that walks up and talks about how they need to stand with them, because hey, you know, if we don't stand with them, then all these other people, you know, all these other people are going to be, oh, they're just going to be killing you. And I want to let people know that Michelle is going to be here for the rest of the show. And we want to talk with you. We want to hear what you have to say, your experiences with the police, your ideas about what's being said here, what we're talking about, all of this. All right. And we're going to play a couple of clips before we get into that. But I want to have people to have a chance of basically, you know, come on, sisters and brothers, stand up and tell us what the hell you're thinking about this, all right? Because it's important. You know, we don't have the time, and we shouldn't have the idea that it's okay to not, you know, stand up around this. You know, it's not okay to pretend that everything is cool. Mm-hmm. It's not okay to think that you can go out to your, you know, your basically to the various Congress people or whatever, or the people that in the city hall or any of this stuff that might tell you, though, just tell us your problems and we'll take care of it all, because people are dying. People are being killed, and a whole different view of what needs to be done is being pushed out, because it's the Nazis that are pushing out their stuff, but they're also basically putting it out to people and saying that it's nothing you can do, you know, and that's important for people to understand what they actually can do. Now, Michelle, we're going to ask you, first off, now I know there's a lot of you out there who, and I haven't been on the air for a while, I was a little bit sick, but now I'm much better. In fact, I'm, you know, if you saw me before, I was like, you know, scrawny and all this other, now I'm like muscle bound. Okay. Because right. Kiana, I'm muscle bound, right? You got it. Okay. There you go. All right. But and the thing is that I want to hear from you. We want to hear from you what you have to say. Okay. We want to hear from you what you have to say and what you're thinking about this. What the hell are you thinking about? How long can you tolerate this? Okay. Because this was a pre-recorded show, you can't call your local station and make a comment. All right. So now I want to, I think that there's been a, I think we're missing something here. Okay, yes. All right, so now, Michelle, we have some clips we want you to introduce while people are getting ready to call us up. We want you to introduce this, all right? So introduce those clips, and then we'll start going with it, all right?
Yeah, so as part of the march on June 12th, we manifested the five stops, and I do want to share with people some of what the sounds, or, you know, what happened on the 12th.
What are the five stops? Because, you know, a whole lot of people don't know what the five stops are.
Yeah.
Could be stops about anything.
Yeah, the five stops. That's what I was just going to get into. The five stops are, you know, the five contradictions that this system cannot actually reform. And that's the genocidal persecution, mass incarceration, police brutality, and murder of black and brown people. The patriarchal degradation, dehumanization, and subjugation of all women everywhere, and all oppression based on gender or sexual orientation. Stop the wars of empire, armies of occupation, and crimes against humanity. Stop the demonization, criminalization, and deportation of immigrants and the militarization of the border. And stop capitalism, imperialism from destroying our planet. So we can go into the clip here of the five stops.
Okay.
Barely captured it. Millions who will be raped. Millions more who will be routine. exceedingly demeaned, deceived, degraded, and all too often brutalized by those who are supposed to be their most intimate lovers. The way in which so many women will be shamed, hounded, and harassed if they seek to exercise reproductive rights through abortion or even birth control. The many who will be forced into prostitution, pornography, and all those who, if they do not have their particular faith, and even if they achieve some success in this new world, where supposedly there are no barriers for women, will be surrounded on every side and assaulted at every moment by society and a culture which degrades women on the streets, in the school and workplaces, in the home on a daily basis, and in countless ways.
That's right, so those are the words of Baba Bakian, the leader of the revolution, talking about, you know, this is one of these stops. Stop the patriarchal degradation, dehumanization, and subjugation of all women everywhere, and all oppression based on gender or sexual orientation. We've been stopping through the neighborhoods, and there are five stops. Five contradictions that this system cannot solve. And right here, you're going to hear a quote from Baba Bakian. This is a stop. Stop the wars of empires, empire armies of occupation, and crimes against humanity. So you're going to, the words are Baba Bakian, but this is a member of the Revolution Club, and she's going to read a quote from Baba Bakian.
From Basics. 5-7. American lives are not more important than other people's lives. Is that right? Tell the people of South Central, American lives are not more important than other people's lives. American lives are not more important than other people's lives. Quote 31. This is a quote that inspired Sansara to become a revolutionary. If you can conceive of a world without America, without everything America stands for, and everything it does in the world, then you are already taking great strides and become to get at least a glimpse of a whole new world. If you can envision a world without any imperialism, exploitation, oppression, and the whole philosophy that rationalizes it. A world without divisions into classes or even different nations, and all the narrow-mindedness, selfishness, outmoded ideas that uphold this. If you can envision all this, then you have the basis for proletarian internationalism. And once you have raised your sights to all this, how could you not feel compelled to take an active part in the world historic struggle to realize it? Why would you want to lower your sights to anything less? Basics, Prophet to Revolution. You gotta get organized. Get this book now.
All right, welcome back. All right, now we've got a few people who called up and want to talk with us about this, and I really want to get to this, so we're going to jump right into this. First, I want to hear from Peter. Peter, who wants to know about, he's basically saying something I think we all agree with. Yeah, right. Police who are Nazis. Peter, welcome to the show.
Sure. Good morning.
Good morning. I want to get you, hold on, man. I want you to talk. I want you to talk to the person who's got the thing on. So go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Actually, this question is for you and the young lady. Is she still there?
Yes.
I'm here.
Yes. So you had mentioned a world where a woman can walk down the street, look a man in the eye, and not have to be afraid. And I think that's a great feeling. Today, if you walk down the street and a man grabs you and throws you in the bushes and has his way with you, who do you call?
very good question there. That's something very, very important to talk about.
Well, yeah, look, I mean, that actually is the fact that in this society, even when women do report rape cases, you know, are just treated like not, like nothing, you know, there's actually like...
I'm sorry to interrupt, but the question was, who do you call?
Who do you call?
Yeah, who do you call when somebody rapes you?
I mean, who can you call? That's my point. That's actually what I'm trying to speak to, is the fact that any women that can...
Hold up, man. Let her speak, and then you can come back and speak.
Sorry, you would not call the police then.
Well, that actually is my point, is that so many rape kits that actually do not even get used.
You're avoiding the question here.
No, okay. Wait a minute, man. Wait a minute.
No,
go ahead.
You don't actually want to hear the answer, brother. I'm actually trying to speak to it, you know? Because, look.
The question was, who do you call if you're raped? If somebody breaks in your house, who do you call?
And my answer is, who can you call? When the police is called, just to speak very directly to what you want me to speak, when the police gets called, you have one problem when you get raped or somebody invades your home. And when you call the police, you have two problems, because they're going to come in and they're either going to, you know, not deal with the problem or shoot you down, the way that so many people that end up calling the police, you know, this is what happens. You know, the young woman during the George Floyd case, I can't remember her name at the top of my head right now, but, you know, there was a fight that happened and they called the police, and what happened? That young woman was dead. You know, she's 15 years old. She was dead for trying to stop a fight. This is what happens in this society, and this is actually why we can't rely on this system. We can't rely on any of these other ways that are put to people. And frankly, it's a hold that this system has on you, brother, who just called, and people that actually are trained to think in this way, that we have to continue to rely on them, or, you know, and that is exactly my point. We need revolution. We need to get rid of this whole system and actually put into place a whole different society where the people's security forces, you know, which wouldn't be, you know, the police and the way that they are today, would actually sooner put their lives and you know, give up their lives than to kill one of the people, that would actually deal with situations in a whole different way, that wouldn't, you know, that wouldn't make a woman that, you know, that gets raped, you know, be put in a situation that's even more messed up than what she already has to deal with. The fact that in this society, like, women get raped so many times, and they get shame to even like talk about it, but then two, when they do talk about it, it just gets thrown away like nothing, because they're not viewed as full human beings, you know.
And particularly, I mean, when you're talking about who you're going to call, you know, and you're going to call the Nazis, and you know, that's the basic thing. I mean, who the hell, what the, anyway, all right, so let's move on and talk to Mike. How are you? You want to talk about how things are how can things change?
Yeah, how can things change? So I've been in California for 11 years, and I've been listening to the Babavakian movement, and I have to say, as a democratic socialist, it speaks to my soul. But the one thing that I don't ever truly hear is what it was like, for instance, with the Green Party. I was a Jammu Baraka and Jill Stein. I thought that they had a real shot to just at least to be able to get validity in an upcoming election, and they couldn't do that. So my question is that if I'm communist as the day is long, I believe in democratic socialism. But what I don't see for the democratic socialism community even are any realistic plans for change-making realities. I see a lot of protests. I see a lot of speeches. I see a lot of talking. But what I don't see is the community coming out with real programs to purchase land, to create cities, to build change from the ground up, or to, as the young lady keeps saying, the systematic change, a revolution, unless you're prepared to fight drones, tanks, and MRAPs, the only revolution that you're going to have is a verbal revolution. But unless you're prepared to do the work of creating new cities that are built from the ground up and creating new counties with land that's already being used, what do we have?
All right, before she answers that, I just want to let people know, You give us a call.
Yeah, no, I want to echo that because I really appreciate these two comments that have been made. I think to speak to your question directly, look, when we say revolution, it's exactly what you're saying. We actually do have a strategy, including a military strategy, not to go on and try to set something off right now because we don't have the people and we're not in the kind of situation where we can actually do something like that without getting crushed, right? And Bob Avakian actually does speak to, and there's this film in particular, it's called Why We Need an Actual Revolution and How We Can Really Make Revolution. And the second part in How We Can Make Revolution, he actually talks about what would be the conditions, a revolutionary situation where we can actually go and go up against, you know, what you spoke to, right? Go up against their whole system, their murderous enforcers, right? And actually defeat them. That is not the situation in which we're in today. And part of, because we are serious about this revolution, we actually are preparing the forces. We're preparing, because at this point, the revolutionaries are very small. And that's why we keep talking about it, because people actually need to know that this is a need. You know, we're not shy to tell people that this is a big need right now, is that people that actually care about the world, that want to see an end to this, need to step into this revolution now and go to work on getting to that point when we can actually go up against the system and have a real chance to win. You know, because, again, we're not at a stage where we can actually go up against them without getting crushed. And that actually is going to go really against what we're trying to do here, you know? And I feel your sentiment, brother, because I feel the same way. Like, we do want change now, you know, but under this system, we're not going to be able to do, you know, any of these things, because you're living in a system of capitalism, imperialism that is based on profit. If they're not profiting off of whatever land or whatever it is that you're trying to purchase, it's not going to do any good for the people.
Can I interject? So
yes.
I want to tell you about a program that I put together. I got folks who live in vehicles. They're vehicle dwellers, and they had all they have is the vehicle as it's operating that they're living in, driving around as gypsies. We got together, put meager resources, each person put $400 in, and we bought some land in Southern Nevada. That was to be our corporate headquarters. And we created a worker-owned cooperative. And we've been trying to do that. But it's actually something that we did. Poor people, $400 a piece, buying land, hopefully to create our own city. I want to hear stuff like that.
Well, I think we'd have to come back on that, because I'm just looking now that I don't know. It's sort of like when you talk about that, you know, you guys do what you're doing, but you should actually speak to that, because I think you might be able to actually have a little bit more familiarity with that.
Right? I think just to speak very briefly and really to the point to this is, I'm basing any kind of solution not just on how it's going to benefit the people of Los Angeles or the people of California, but the people of the world, you know, and the people that are actually being slaved, you know, enslaved to making our clothes, to picking our food, to, you know, mining the things that go into our makeup, you know, that go into our every little thing that we think is so insignificant, but actually has the blood of the people of the world, the blood and bones of the people of the world. And so to actually speak to any kind of solution that's going to deal with that, nothing short of a revolution is actually going to deal with any of those things on that kind of scale, you know? So just to speak quickly to that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, is this Mike that's on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
I guess my question would be,
hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I guess my question to that would be, you're doing the grass, you're doing the needed work. You're building up the proletariat, as it were, as Fred Hampton, the Black Panthers, they once did. You're doing the groundwork. And there's organizations, for instance, like New Era Coalition. They're in several cities. They're on the ground. They're with the people. They're feeding the hungry. They're doing food programs with breakfast programs in the schools, and they're doing that. But my question, the one thing that I didn't see across the countries as I'm looking, even other countries, is folks who are taking land and building up separate entities. There's a city in Riverside County that's called Canyon Lake. Canyon Lake is a gated community. It's an incorporated gated community, which means they control their own police department. They have a wall that encloses their entire area, and you can't get in there unless you're a guest or you're a resident. Why don't I see folks creating systems like that? The wealthy have the ability to be completely insular and build their own universe. If the poor got together and worked cooperatively, they could do the same. And I seem to be the only guy here even talking about that.
All right, Mike.
Protesting if it's to make an end.
All right, Mike, and yes, basically, yes, it's true. You are the only person here talking about this because, you know, look, there's a point here about you want to know how things can change. You know, well, they're not going to be changed by just everything being repeated. Everything being repeated in terms of what's available, what's not, what people should do, what they don't do. And meanwhile, the people that run the society are living like hogs. You know, this is the thing, and people, you look around the world, you look around, I mean, look, I've been all over the world, you look around, what's here, you look at how people are living, you know, you think about how people are living and what they go through. I mean, this is just not good at all. You know, it's actually, I think it's important for people to keep being reminded of how these things happen and what we've seen just over the last few months even. You know, look at the insane stuff. The fact that we have these Nazis that are holed up in mountains and some of them are just holed up in businesses, you know. There's all these things that are going on. You know, you look at the example of Tulsa when black mm-hmm. people did that. What they did, they were massacred, mm-hmm. okay? This is the kind of stuff that actually is done by this society. And I think people have to deal with that. So I want you to speak a little bit to this, okay?
Yeah, no, I think this Tulsa example is very important. And it actually does speak to exactly what this person is raising. If you're black or you're brown or you're indigenous in this society, if you try to do anything like that and try to work together or try to, you know, carve out some space in this society, you're living, you know, what you've been speaking to this whole show, right? These Nazis, you know, they are out for revenge. They are out for blood. They are, you know, you swear they're going to let you do something like that under this society, you know, with the backing of Trump, with what happened on January 6th with the Capitol attack, like they have made very clear that they're going to push through on their genocidal fascist agenda. And there is no safe space under this society. There is no safe space under this system, you know, and just to speak to this Tulsa, you know, people should go out to, you know, to the revcom.us website. There's a new piece from Bob Avakian on this question of the Tulsa massacre, right? And the fact that you had in that, you know, in Tulsa and that what happened, you had like, you know, black people that actually did have, you know, their whole, you know, area where they had like businesses and schools and like all this. And what happened? They, you know, these white racist like mobs came and murdered, slaughtered and just burned down their whole like place, you know. Why? Because they're black in this society. This is what happens under this system when you have a system that has white supremacy into its every fabric. You know, you can't do something like that under this system. You got to get rid of this whole system. You got to get rid of white supremacy to its root. And the only way you do that is through an actual revolution, you know, and again, to deal with the kind of, you know, ways in which people are terrorized and murdered and slaughtered all over the world. You know, you actually need a whole different society, you know, and that's why we're here talking about this. You know, mm-hmm. people got to know that there is a way out of this, that we don't have to just try to find little ways here and there, you know, to try to deal with this problem that's so massive, that goes back way to the foundation of this country. You know, how do you deal with something so tremendously like big like that? You know, you actually do need revolution. And again, on June 12th, what actually was manifested, you know, was a serious, determined beginning force that is actually working on this revolution, that is stepping out in this kind of way and challenging people and bringing people hope that we don't actually have to live this way, you know, and that we can actually go to work now to the time when we can go up against the system and bring it down. And that, all of that goes right to the leadership of Bob Avakian and the very, you know, huge thing that we have on our side, that the people have on their side. Whether they know it or not, we have this precious leadership that actually has brought forward a scientific understanding of where this comes from and how we can actually do away with this whole system.
Mm-hmm. Now we have like, what, about 2 minutes left? Something like that? Okay. I want you to say, we have 3 minutes, so excuse me. Okay, so I want you to actually give people a sense of where can they find you? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, where can they find this movement? What's next in this movement? What should they be looking for to do right now? And we only have about 2 minutes, okay?
Yeah. So very quickly, go to the revcom.us website. That's www.revcom, R-E-V-C-O-M, .us. And then tonight, tune in at 5 p.m. to the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show, where we're going to tell the story of what happened on June 12th. That's youtube.com/therevcoms, T-H-E-R-E-V-C-O-M-S. People should, on our Instagram, on our social media, on the revcom.us website, people can actually see our information, get in touch with us. And, you know, we actually do need to get going on this now. So people who are serious, people who want to learn about this, go on the website.
So they have to go on the website to find out where it's going to be?
Yes.
Okay, so don't forget that. Don't get lost. Go there, find out, and show up, all right? All right, for Juneteenth, we're going to go out now. It was really, and Kiana, it was great working with you again. It's been way too distant, okay? Henry, thank you. And you, Michelle, thank you very much. And each and every one of you for tuning in. But right now, for Juneteenth, we're going out with Revolution by Nina Simone. Used to play that a lot and not enough now. So, Henry Carson, thank you very much. Kiana, thank you very much. And let's get into it.
We're in the middle of a revolution because I see the face of things to come. Oh, your constitution, well, my friend, it's gonna have to bend. I'm here to tell you about the destruction of all the evil. It will have to end. Are gonna get the notion, I know. They'll say I'm preaching hate. If I have to swim the ocean, well, I will, just to communicate. It's not as simple as talk and jive, the daily struggle just to stay alive. Talking about a change. It's more than just air pollution. Well, you know, you've got to clean your brain. The only way that we can stand, in fact, is when you get your foot off my back.